Beloved congregation of the Lord, we want to look this morning at the theme of faith in God, my Father, in the year of our Lord 2020. We want to do that by way of Ephesians 1, verses 2 and 3, and Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. So Ephesians 1, verses 2 and 3. This is the word of God. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then Lord's Day 9. Of God the Father. Question 26. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? And here's the answer. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that he will make whatever evils, or we would say adversities, he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. So our theme this morning, faith in God my Father, in the year of our Lord 2020. Three thoughts. First, God, my Father, for Christ's sake. And then secondly, God, my providing Father. And thirdly, God, my faithful Father. So first then, God, my own Father, for Christ's sake. Ephesians 1, verses 2 and 3 give some striking comments about God, our Father. The apostle writes, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's benediction names grace to you. And who is the you? Well, verse 1 tells us, the saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Those two things that every sinner needs, the grace of God to save us and peace with God, removing the enmity that is in us by nature. And Paul says that these blessings come to us from God our Father. And as always, it's so important to pay attention to the little words of Scripture. It doesn't say from God the Father, though that's true, but it says from God our Father. That makes it personal. That means for every believer, God is our Father. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is your Father. God is my Father. And so God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ are the source of grace and peace. And what a source that is, isn't it? The first and second persons of the Holy Trinity, that's where grace and peace comes from. And that's why even in the year 2020, we can shout it out with Paul, what he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Yes, God our Father is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that is how he can be our Father. Only for the sake of his Son, Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings flow from him. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. If we think just only of those two blessings that are mentioned here, grace and peace. Totally undeserved favor of God for undeserving wayward rebels in Christ. And peace with God. Peace from God for enemies of God. Only in and through Christ Jesus. And yes, in the year 2020, in the midst of COVID-19 pandemic, we still boldly confess, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Every Sunday afternoon, we announce those words. We confess this together. Another question for us to answer this morning is, what do you believe when you say these words? What do you believe when you say this? And notice that the question does not ask us, what do you mean? Or what do you feel? Or what do Christians mean or feel? No, the question comes right to each one of us very personally, what do you confess when you say these words? And before we answer that, let's remember what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. On Sunday afternoon, we usually say, let us make confession of our undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, these words. And Paul says, with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, you believe unto righteousness. That has to go together. If you don't believe this with your heart, then you are lying when you say it. You have to realize that. Yes, we have to say it. And yet, outside of grace, we can't. The Apostles' Creed speaks of faith in God the Father. Children, who is God the Father? He's named here God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And we confess, I believe in him, in this God, the one true God of the Bible, the Almighty One. That reveals God's great power. It speaks of his greatness, his majesty, the glory of Almighty God. God the Father Almighty, God Almighty, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. And this God uses his power and his sufficiency to graciously deliver and comfort and bless his people. He's the maker, the creator of heaven and earth. This God creates and rules and possesses and governs all things, including each one of us. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty? Well, a believer in his right place says, I believe that the eternal Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is my Father. But first of all, God the Father is Father first of His Son. About 50 times Jesus speaks of God as my Father. 9 times God the Father is recorded as saying of the Lord Jesus, this is my beloved Son. This is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, notice the personal language of our Lord Jesus Christ, quoting from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 1, our Lord Jesus Christ, not just the Lord Jesus Christ, though that is true, but here it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And what has this God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, what has He done? Well, He of nothing made heaven and earth and everything that's in them. So when I say I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, I hold for truth what God has revealed in His Word about the creation of heaven and earth. And as I hold that for truth, I deny outrightly the ungodly theory of evolution. Creation is so undeniably clear in Genesis 1 and 2. The Old Testament saints understood this. That's why the psalmist says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And it's the same in the New Testament, Hebrews 11. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. This God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. This God says, let there be light. And there was light. After each day of creation, this God saw that it was good, and He said so. Everything He created was good. And then came the sixth day of creation, the crown of creation, when God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And when He had done that, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And this God not only created heaven and earth and then just left it to itself. No, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ upholds and governs heaven and earth and everything that's in them by His eternal counsel and providence. Our eternal Father has an eternal counsel whereby He upholds and governs all things. Everything He decrees in His counsel happens. You say, COVID-19 too? Oh yes, that is according to God's decree. Psalm 115, our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He has pleased. Nothing happens in this universe except by God's eternal counsel. And that goes down to the smallest things. Jesus said to His disciples, are not 2 sparrows sold for a few pennies? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. God the Father's work is to govern and uphold by His eternal counsel and providence. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we'll discuss that whole idea of providence. For this morning, we're focusing on this. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that this eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father. He is. There's not a perhaps here, or a maybe, or I think, or I feel, or I hope. No, this is a present reality. This is the language of faith. I believe that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father. That's quite a statement, isn't it? You say, how can somebody say that? What boldness! Is that not perhaps presumption? Do believers really believe this? When they say, I believe in God the Father. Remember what faith is. An assured confidence, worked by the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, in my heart, that to me also remission of sins and everlasting grace and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. And now that faith says, the eternal Father is my God and Father. And notice what comes in that sentence. What comes between the eternal Father and is my God and Father? What comes between is these words, for the sake of Christ, his Son. And as long as that's true, then this is not presumption. That means this believer has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you leave out that phrase, for the sake of Christ, his Son, then God cannot be your Father. Then you have an empty gospel. If you leave Christ Jesus out, it's impossible. Because Christ, his Son, gave his life and shed his blood and earned your salvation so that you could become a child of God. But you say, but how can I know that God the Father is, for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God and my Father? How can I know that? You can know it, beloved, by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. You can know it by faith embracing Christ's merits of remission of sin and eternal life and eternal righteousness and salvation. You may know it by loving Him because He first loved you. You may know it by not being able to sin without grieving over that sin. You can know it by desiring to live out of Christ and by beginning to call God my Father. There's many people in this world who want the Lord to be their God and Father, and who want the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior and their Mediator. But they don't want Jesus to be the Lord of their lives, because that would mean submission to His ways. That would mean turning my back on the sin that I so much love doing. That means that I have to fight the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. And I strive for holiness. And for many people, that price is just too high. That's too costly. I have to change my life too much. And when you hear in the gospel the price Christ paid for sin, then secretly you're thinking, what? Blood has to save me? When you hear of Christ's cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you hear Christ saying, if any man will follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And you consider the price of picking up that cross and following him, you say, no, that's asking too much. But see, the Heidelberg Catechism is a confession of faith. And it sounds a different note. A note of victory and triumph. The eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. Well, that means I am his son or daughter. Can you fathom that? Romans 8, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We begin to call God, Father. And in so doing, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And John exclaims in 1 John 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." I believe in God, my own Father, for Christ's sake. Secondly, I believe in God, my providing Father. I believe in God, my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but He will provide me with all things necessary. That speaks of relying entirely or completely on God the Father. Because God the Father is, for the sake of Christ Jesus, His Son, my God and my Father, I rely on Him. He's 100% reliable. He's always trustworthy. He's completely dependable. Faith in action relies on Father God. How entirely? So that I have no doubt. There's that firm reliance. It speaks of having no doubt. Is that reality in your life too? No doubt? Just pause there a moment. Remember that the Catechism speaks the language of assured confidence. Remember Lord's Day 7. That confidence is worked by the Holy Spirit through the gospel in my heart. And we, when we had Lord's Day 7, we discovered it's not just an overnight job. That takes much work, and it actually takes a lifetime. Are there then times that of this firm reliance in a believer's life? Oh yes, there are. When faith is at work. And faith is at work, we rely entirely on God our Father. But the reality is also that a believer still has that old nature that listens to the whispers and the shouts of the devil. And yet the Catechism speaks of, I have no doubt. I rely entirely on God my Father. But I can almost hear a trembling saint saying, but Pastor, I do have doubts. In fact, at times, my doubt is greater than my faith is. What must I conclude then? Is the presence of doubt evidence that God the Father is not my God and Father? Some people ask sometimes, well, don't you ever have doubts? And the way they ask it, it's almost an accusation. They think that doubt evidences faith. That faith without doubt is false faith. And they look around at other people from some different churches and they say, some even in our own churches say, those easy believers, they can always believe. They never doubt. And so doubt for them becomes a mark of grace. If you never doubt, your faith is not true, they say. Is that what you think too? Then you are sadly and grossly mistaken. Doubt is not a mark of grace. Faith has no doubt. Because faith, by its very definition, believes and trusts God. Faith holds for truth everything that God has revealed in the Holy Scriptures. So doubt is unbelief. Doubt is not the Holy Spirit's work. It's the devil's work. Doubt is sin. Doubt is contrary to faith's certain knowledge and assured confidence. The Holy Spirit does not work doubts. The Holy Spirit works faith. But you say, when I look at myself, that I can't believe it. I'm not surprised, because doubt looks at self. But faith looks only to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can't believe that God the Father would be my God and Father. Why not? Because I'm so sinful. Do you think that's ever going to get better? That tomorrow you will find yourself to be less sinful? You know what's really happening? You're secretly blaming God for your unbelief. Let me give you an example. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's a gospel command there, "Come unto me." And there's a gospel promise, "I will give you rest." Now every human being is laboring and heavy laden with sin. But in your unbelief, you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, do you? Is Christ lying then? When he says, "Come to me," and promises to give you rest? Well, you wouldn't dare to say that he's lying. Well then why don't you come to him? What's holding you back? What's hindering you? I'll tell you what it is. You are doubting the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that were not so, you would come right now. I rely on him so firmly that I have no doubt that my Father will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and that he will make whatever evils or adversities he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. The experience of believers is that this life really is a valley of tears. And we experience adversities. But here, the Catechism rightly says that the adversities he sends upon me. So whatever adversities come into our lives are sent by God. We need them. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his glory and riches by Christ Jesus." So when God supplies you with something, you need that something. Will you lack anything then? Physically? Spiritually? My God and Father sends prosperity upon me as well as adversity. So when we're going through adversities, that happens. Doubts can come in. And fears and darkness. And children, God's people even at times begin to question our God and Father. And we begin to think and to follow the devil's reasoning. And we begin to say, well, if God the Father was really my God and Father, I wouldn't have to suffer so much. If God the Father was really my God and Father, I wouldn't have to worry about COVID or finances. If God the Father were really my God and Father, he would intervene now. But either he can't or he won't. Or maybe he delights in my suffering. See, and then we have it all backwards, don't we? That's not biblical thinking. What is biblical thinking then? Well, it's what Job says, for example. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive adversity? Or, from the New Testament, Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? What kind of a father would he be if he didn't send us some adversity? But faith says, I have no doubt that God, my Father, will make the adversity that he sends upon me to turn out to my advantage. Even coronavirus, with its consequences? Yes, even that. Listen again as we hear the language of faith at work. No matter how scary the circumstances become, no matter how dark the times may be, no matter how painful the experiences we have to go through, no matter how grievous or how discouraging or disappointing life has become, my God and Father sends it all upon me. And then it can only be for my good. Can only be to bring me closer to Him, closer to Christ. Can only be to conform me to the image of His beloved Son. And when I consider what I rightly deserve because of sin, then whatever adversity comes over me, I may say with Eli in the Old Testament, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Because this God is my own Father for Christ's sake. And he is my providing Father. And thirdly, this God is my faithful Father. Before we go there, we're going to sing number 202. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. All three verses, 202. God, my faithful Father, is able to provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. And he's able to turn the adversity that he sends upon me to my advantage. Remember who he is. The eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has infinite power. There are no limits to what he can do for my body and soul, for my physical and spiritual life. What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He is able to do it, being Almighty God. The first time God is called Almighty God in the Bible is Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. And then he announces that he's going to have a son through Sarah, his barren wife. And the covenant is established through impossible ways. He's able to do it. being Almighty God. And He's willing to do it. Willing to provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. Willing to turn the adversity that He sends upon me to my advantage. Especially for my spiritual advantage. You know, there are many Christians in this world who are very poor by the world standards. And yet, though they may be poor by those standards, they have the greatest advantage. They know God the Father loves them and cares for them. They wouldn't trade that fact for all the riches in the world. My God and Father, for the sake of Christ, His Son, is my able and willing Father to give me everything I need. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. He's able and willing to do it, being a faithful Father. You know, in this world, we often hear of unfaithful fathers who are not good fathers in their families or not good husbands to their wives. But that can never be said of God our Father. He is our faithful Father, faithful to His word, giving you what you need. Just ask Him. Your Father who is in heaven shall, Jesus says, Jesus shall give you good things to those who ask Him. Is this what you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth? If not, why is that? You say, well, He's not my Father. Well, He is your Father already by creation. The Bible says, Malachi 2 verse 10, do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? So He is your Father in that sense, but you know more is needed. It's the confession of faith that God is my God and Father for Christ's sake. There's not a single believer who is a child of God for his own sake. But by nature, there's no believer who's a better person in himself than you are. All believers are saved by grace. All are saved the same way, through faith in Christ alone. It is only in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, that God the Father can be your Father too. And Hebrews 7 verse 25 says that when you come to the Father through Jesus Christ, God the Father saves you to the uttermost, completely. If the confession of Lord's Day 9 is true for you, then even in the year 2020, even in the midst of a pandemic, let us conduct ourselves as the children of such a God and Father. And let us come daily to our Father, expressing our adoration to Him and our gratitude to Him. Let us come daily to our Father to express our concerns and our burdens and our questions. But let us also come to our God and Father expressing our love for Him and our great need for His presence moment by moment. Let us come to our Father the same way we've always come to Him, by Jesus, His Son. Do you know, there are three people, or three things that God's people long for in this life. Maybe many more, but these three, they want boldness with their Father. And we want access to our Father. And we want confidence in our Father. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 3 verse 12 that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. The very things we long for and know that we need, we have in Christ. If God is your Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, His Son, then you are His children. And Paul writes, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Dear believers, let's remind each other these days that we are children and heirs. It's quite something to be a child of God and an heir of God, to inherit, we'll get to it in a moment, but inherit all things, even when times are tough, financially or medically, and the future looks bleak, that we may go out at night on a clear sky, and we may look up at the stars, and we may say, now my Father knows every one of those stars by name. That's my Father. And if it's cloudy, then notice the clouds. My Father made those clouds too. And above those clouds are all those stars that He knows, all of them, by name. And they're all mine. Really? Yes. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 21 and following, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. It's true for you, dear believer. The universe is yours, and you are Christ's. Christ is God. What riches belong to the children of God? And it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this, let us bow again and again before our King and our Lord, our Savior, our Mediator, our Father, for Christ's sake. And then we can live without care when we live only from His hand. As children of God, and one of the characters of children is to be carefree. You see children sometimes, even these days, just running around and they're carefree without any concern. Why? Because my daddy will take care of me, they say. And we seek all things from our Heavenly Father. And we say, our Father, give us today our daily bread. Well, then we don't need to fear any danger. We don't need to fear any creature. We don't need to fear a virus. Your God and Father is above them all. So when the children of God are afraid of something, then we're really denying the supreme power and goodness of our God and Father. Because no matter where you are on your God and Father's territory. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And hereafter, dear child of God, your God and Father is going to provide you with an even better and more spacious and happy dwelling place with Him forevermore. Well, beloved congregation, is your confession that of Lord's Day 9? That God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is for the sake of His Son, my God and Father. If that's your confession, then it's all by grace for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank Him for it. And sometime today shout, Hallelujah. But if Lord's Day 9 is not your confession, then you need to hear from the Word of God where that is leading. By creation, we heard from Malachi 2, God is your Father, but you have fallen. And now, in the words of Jesus himself, you are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father, you will do. And if you continue on this pathway, refusing salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, if you continue rejecting gospel offers, then your end shall be that you will hear that same Jesus who now offers you his salvation, saying to you, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But it doesn't have to end that way, because once more, the gospel comes to you. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And when you obey this gospel call, you will discover what the rest of the verse says, and what every child of God has discovered in his Christian experience: return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon you. Return to your God, for he will abundantly pardon. To the praise of God our Father's glorious name, and the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, once again we've had the privilege of hearing the gospel of God our Father through Jesus Christ. Lord, what an amazing fact this is. How it boggles our minds. How it's so hard to believe that Almighty God would be willing to be our Father. And yet we know that it is for the sake of Christ thy Son. Oh Lord, we pray that Son of God may be more and more on the forefront of our thinking, leading us to God the Father, seeing the love of God displayed in his Son. Lord, what an amazing thing it is that we should be called the children of God. Increase our faith, Lord. Keep it strong, firm in these days where it is attacked from many sides, also from within. And Lord, bless those who are still to this moment outside of Christ, who do not even mean it when they say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, who don't believe it. Oh Lord, send thy Spirit even now into their hearts. Convince them. Convince them of the horribleness of sin and the amazingness of grace in the Lord Jesus. That where sin abounded, grace may superabound. Lord, bless us as we have some time of rest now. We pray that we may see each other again this afternoon. And Lord, bless thy word as it goes forth around this world in this day. Keep us from sin. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.